From the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri, I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. Coming up on this November the 14th, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net. And we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. Along the way, we'll catch up with Joe Prusaki from USDA NAS and discover how USDA really uses that crop production report to hone in on yield, particularly in very dry condition years at the end of the season, like this year, when the yield of soybeans dropped off so dramatically, and if they can actually capture that. We'll do all of that on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand. Anytime you'd like to listen to us at willag.org, just click and play from the website or search us out in your favorite podcast applications, places like Apple Music, Spotify, and even YouTube.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today at $4.19, down 7.5 cents. The March at 4.30 3/4, 6 3/4 lower. May at 4.38 1/4, down 6. And January beans, 9.87 1/2, a loss of 20 1/4 cents today. The March contract at 9.99 1/4, down 19 1/4. And next year's November, 15 lower at $10.13 1/2. Bean meal futures down $4.60. The bean oil, 74 cents lower. Wheat futures, soft red. In this December at 5.30 1/4, down 10 3/4. The hard red, that finished at 5.33, down 7.5 cents. Live cattle futures finished the nearby contract for the day at 97.5 cents lower. Feeders down 45 cents and lean hogs, $2.25 lower. A lot of red on the screen. We're here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. Matt Bennett from agmarket.net is not available this afternoon. However, Kevin Van Trump of the Van Trump Report is here. He'll join us for our Commodity Week program along with Arlen Suderman. Kevin, thanks for filling in on short notice. I really appreciate it. It's been a while. Tell me about this marketplace and what you think of it.
Yeah, Todd, I appreciate you having us. I'm bearish. Probably a lot of listeners might not want to hear it. I mean, I was the most sold we've been sold, advanced sales that I have been in, I don't know, maybe 20 years. So I'm feeling good in the position I'm in. I've got, 70% of the beans priced, and we've got 30% of next year's priced, and same story in the corn and essentially the floor under everything. And as a spec, as a trader, I'm a trader. I've been short, and I'm short beans and, short the board, and I've got a few wheat spreads on and some things like that. But, we're worried. I mean, the funds have gotten back to close to even, in the corn market. And the majority of that, what they are long is pretty much they've been long some corn and short some beans. And, I don't know. It gives them dry powder. We got a lot of changes coming down in Washington. I'm worried about what's going to happen on the biofuel side of things. We're worried about trade wars potential. I mean, nothing enlightening here that I'm going to probably say that a lot of the listeners haven't already heard from you guys in the past, Todd. But, I think it looks like it's a little bit lower for longer. And I'm afraid that's probably going to be the song and dance. Weather, we don't really have a weather story. Weather's improved dramatically in South America. Too late to a weather story here. We do have a nice demand story in corn, but I suspect they're going to drop ending stocks down to maybe 1.8 by the year-end report, 1.85, somewhere in that ballpark, but I still don't think that's going to be enough to rally prices much out of this trading range that we've been in. I think we've been stuck at 385 to 435 since late June, and I'm afraid the corn market's just probably going to stay in that range. And you may see them try to pressure the downward part of that just because the funds are going to have some dry powder here. So it's going to be interesting to see how things play out. I know a couple of the talked about appointments in Washington have scared some folks on the bio side of things with the EPA and things of that nature. So, that's where we're at, Todd. We're probably just thinking it's probably lower highs and lower lows to come here for a bit. Now, we're a little bit more bullish wheat as after we turn the corner, maybe into Jan-Feb. And that may help us pull out of this. And there may be a late weather story in Brazil with second crop. So, I think there's a longer-term bean story. But between now and getting there, I think could be a little of a problem. So we're holding off.
You're worried about this year's crop. Are you worried about next year's as well on low prices? I mean, how long do you think this story is?
Well, that's the whole problem here. I mean, it's like a lot of the other investments we've had in the ag space. We do a lot of early ag tech investments, and I was just talking to some folks earlier, and I said, I think it's going to come down to who can hold their breath the longest underwater. And I think we're going to be underwater here for a bit. I hope it's not another 2 years, but I think you could be underwater for a bit. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Farm Bill and if there is going to be some disaster, economic disaster relief money put in play. Well, there's talks that that could happen if we get prices down here low enough, and maybe there's going to be some relief on that front. But, yeah, we're worried. I mean, we're definitely, you know, lightening up and just trying to get as cash heavy as we can. So, yeah, we're worried that it could last a little bit longer. It just depends where acres pop up at next year.
You mentioned corn demand being good. Ethanol's flat, relatively speaking, but good. Feed demand seems to be good. Exports, particularly to Mexico, have been really good. Can you put those in context of the dry conditions or drought that that nation has suffered a couple of years in a row, and whether that really plays in this? I don't know whether it does, but I thought it was worth asking.
Yeah, I'm not really positive either myself. I mean, it's a great question. We are worried, and a lot of the fund guys that I know are worried that we don't know what's going to happen with trade relations with Mexico. I mean, there could be some things come up there as well. And, you know, they've been throwing up some red flags on some of the corn and trying to kind of take a tougher stance. But we're just not sure. So, and when people aren't sure, a lot of the funds just are hesitant to put the money to work. So, like I said, to have big fund interest, you need some type of supply side story or weather story. We really don't have it. You need a demand story, and you need a underlying macro landscape that's conducive to a bullish environment. And we don't have either. We don't have a weather story. We don't have a macro story. We do have a little bit of a NAND story, but that's not enough in and of itself to provide enough strength to pull prices dramatically higher. That's why I think we stay stuck in this kind of range, you know, 350, 450. I just say when we're oversupplied in corn, you know, when your ending stocks are, you know, 1.6 billion plus, I always say we like trading that 350, 450 range, and you may dip down below that or dip above it, depending on what side the funds take. But, you know, that's typically where the range we stay in. So when you get to the higher end of that range, price a few bushels. And end users, when you get to the lower end of the range, probably, try to book a little bit more. So
higher end of the range, 430, 450. Yep. And then for soybeans, where?
Well, soybeans, I think that's going to be a lot more of a wild card. I mean, there's talk that we could get soybeans down sub $9 if you see ending stocks pop back above, you know, 550, 600 million, which a lot of people are thinking could be the case. Just because a lot of people anticipated, you know, a little bit more problematic weather in South America. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case there. You got China that seems like they really want to, you know, eat and gobble up as much South American beans as they can. And, you know, that puts some pressure on us. And we think if ending stocks continue to push higher, you could get beans down closer to $9. So, you know, the upper end of the range there is probably closer to 11. But I just don't know if we can get there on the back end. I've been wanting to price more of next year's beans, but we just haven't gotten an opportunity. It just hadn't pushed high enough up. So
we look forward to having more discussions with you a bit later for Commodity Week. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Kevin Van Trump is with the Kevin Van Trump Report and joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. Winter meeting season has begun. We're here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. That's always my official start for the winter meeting season. However, in the month of November, you can catch up with Extension in a couple of places. On the 25th is one of the first places I'd like you to think about. This is the Farmland Owners Conference. That'll take place at the Illinois Central Valley College near LaSalle, Peru. You can find details on our website at willag.org. They'll be inside of the calendar, and you'll need to scroll to it, but you'll find it there. It's highlighted in red, along with other events like the Peoria Farm Show. That's December 3 and 4. We'll also have our own Farm Assets Conference. That's December the 13th, followed by the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, which is the following Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the 16th, 17th, and 18th in Mount Vernon and DeKalb, as well as East Peoria. You can sign up for any of them right there on our website. In fact, that Farm Assets Conference and the Illinois Farm Economic Summits are a great place. I'd like you to be with us on that first one. The Farm Assets Conference includes everything that's in the IFAS series. That means all of the agricultural economists, the Farm Doc team from the University of Illinois. The cost is just $80. Plus, the crop scientist will be there. Eric Snodgrass will join us, and so many more. And we'll have our regular panel of analysts, too, from Illinois Public Media and WILL AM 580, willag.org. Check it all out right now at WILL AG.org. www.farmbroadcasting.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Joe Persaki. He's an associate administrator at NASS. Thank you for being with us today. There is a question that farmers and I have about the crop production reports, yields in particular, and how quickly USDA is able to quantify yield loss during seasons like this one, where dry down, particularly for soybeans, but also for corn, was so very quick in the field, and it's corresponding, again, yield loss.
Right. So, Todd, excellent question. We do get those questions. So the thing to think about our operations is that all, we'll just deal with corn and soybeans, all those samples from the corn and soybean plots that our enumerators harvest, they send to St. Louis. Okay, so there's a process, we count and that sort of thing. We have like miniature combines in the lab that will run the corn and soybean through to get, you know, grain. The next step is we've got moisture meters like many of the farmers have on their places, and those moisture meters are taken to a location in Springfield, Illinois that are calibrated every year. So we'll take those samples, we'll run through, and we will get the moisture content and test weight of those samples. Okay, so during the process, we will standardize. And you say, what does that mean? We will standardize the moisture content. So like corn, a bushel of corn is, it's 56 pounds at 15.5% moisture. So what we'll do is we'll scale everything to that. So we'll count for that. When you talk about harvest loss, there's two parts of that. One, it's the shrinkage of the crop because it's so low in moisture, and the other one is how much runs through the combines. So, you know, people, that's part of the calculation as well. So our enumerators, they'll go back to about a quarter of the samples, and they'll go pick up out in the field a random plot and pick up kernels of corn, pods and such, so we can calculate what went through the machine. So as many of the farmers are probably, you know, they know it's when it's so dry, it's kind of hard to calibrate that combine just right because, you know, it's variable moisture. You might be blowing through on one point and then it's choking up on the next point, you know, in the same field. So we're trying to capture all that, and again, to be standardized with that, the poundage, the weight, and the moisture content.
Yeah, so across the board, through the season, you'll have moisture content too high, moisture content too low, and just like the elevator does, you're looking to standardize it and see where it shows up. Once you get to January, you'll also have what producers are telling you their yields are. Does that make much of a difference in any given year? Are there times when that shows up far different than what you might have had from the samples?
Right. So you're exactly right, Todd. Is there at the end of the year, it's the actual farmers basically working off their weigh tickets. This is how much grain, you know, corn, soybeans, whatever, you know, that we actually produce. It depends, you know, because, you know, we finish that last sample we do is the last part of October, first part of November for the November 1 crop production report. Now, if there's corn and soybeans still sitting in the field, you know, we might not capture that, you know, because of just the way, you know, it could change. So at the end of the year, generally, there's not much deviation from November to that final. But every once in a while, you'll see some change. But we can only wait and see.
You can't give us an insight as to what kinds of years that happens in? Is there any trend?
I would say it's more random, you know, because it all depends on how things play out. Because it's like, okay, in most of like Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, it's been extremely dry, you know, and harvest has been fantastic until, like in southern Illinois, you know, around St. Louis, we got 7 inches of rain. But guess what? That changes the dynamic, you know. So there could be more field loss and that sort of stuff that, you know, we weren't anticipating.
Did you have much discussion this last time around about the drop in yield in soybean and what caused that?
I I don't have the specifics, but I think it's the, you have to remember when we run these data through what are called statistical models, they are anticipating certain things based on past information. So when things with this crop year, during the harvest, when we said it got so dry, it's possible the soybeans never finished. That's the anticipated. That's what we see.
Or shattered and we're left on the ground.
And it blew through the combine. That's not a real technical term, but that's, as a farm kid, that's blowing through.
Right. What do you think farmers should know about what USDA NAS does with crop production reports that they may not understand?
Well, the thing is, we're, first off, NAS, USDA NAS, the National Agricultural Statistics Service, we're here to provide a service to agriculture as a whole, to the farmers, to everyone associated with it. We're not here to hurt anybody, to help anybody. We're here to say, hey, this is what we see at this point in time. I always say statisticians are chroniclers of history, and that's what we're doing. We're saying at this point in time, this is what things look like. What they don't realize is that we have random samples throughout the U.S. in the growing areas for corn and soybeans this year. We have trained enumerators that collect those data. We also have a separate survey that we ask farmers what's their opinion of their yield. So there's two components, what the farmers are thinking and plus what we're seeing out in the field. So that's the thing that people should realize, that we've got two signals what's going on.
Thank you much, Joe.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Joe Persaki is an associate administrator at USDA NAS, joined us here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City. On this Thursday, let's check in with Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. He's the president and CEO there. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, tell me about the weather forecast. We'll start in South America today. Begin in Brazil and work your way southward.
Well, the northern two-thirds of soybeans in Brazil are going to see some nice rains over the next 1 to 2 weeks. A couple of cool fronts will move into that region and then dissipate, and that will lead to some pretty big rain totals going forward. So for those soybeans, everything's looking pretty good. The southern third is not going to be as nearly as wet, and they have been drying out a bit over the last week or so. We'll need to see some rains eventually in this area because November is an important month for southern soybeans, and December is even more important. Now, it's still a little bit early to get too excited about anything in Brazil, but we will be watching that to see how much rain falls over the next couple of weeks, and then to determine if we need to really start following weather in December. But for the moment, everything is pretty quiet.
In Argentina, have you got a different perspective on the crop there?
Well, it's kind of a similar story where it's going to be drier than normal over the next couple of weeks, and we need to keep an eye on that as well, not only because of the pattern, but because we're in a La Nina, and when you get into these weak La Ninas, they can be drier than normal, but not always, just on occasion. So this is something that we have in the back of our mind and we're watching. Now, we would be a little bit more concerned about this if not for two things. Number one is that there was some pretty nice rains over the last couple of weeks, so the soil moisture situation is much improved versus a few weeks ago. The other thing is that there will be some storms around, so we don't really need to get too excited about dryness yet. And I guess one more point would be that it's early in the season. It's basically like May or maybe early June in this area, and you can easily get out of any weather problems with more favorable weather down the road.
Here in the United States, because I'm in Kansas, let's start with the wheat crop, hard red winter, and what conditions have been like and your expectations.
Well, there was an incredible rain event last week where a lot of the hard red winter wheat crop saw more than 2 inches of rain, and that's a lot of rain for November. This area only averages maybe a half of an inch in November, so you do the math, but 2 inches of rain where a half of an inch is normal, that's a lot for this time of the year. On top of that, another major rain event is coming up. This one starts on Sunday in Oklahoma and Texas, and then expands northward through Kansas and Nebraska Sunday and Monday. It's all part of a pattern change that will take place next week, but before that change happens, 1 to 2 inches of rain is coming up for a lot of this crop. So this will go down as one of the wetter Novembers on record, even if it doesn't rain much beyond next week. The temperatures will be a different story as we get into next week, because you know it's been very mild for a long time across most of the central U.S., and that's going to continue right into early next week. But once that system starts to move further to the east and north, it'll drag cold air further into the U.S., and we've seen in a long time, and that will drop temperatures by 20 to 30, maybe even 40 degrees versus where they are today. And so we'll see high temperatures only in the 30s and 40s later next week, with lows in the 10s, 20s, and 30s across the central U.S. So a big change is coming up. The main uncertainty is whether or not that change is going to be something that accompanies this weak La Nina and lasts right on into the start of the winter, or if it's just going to be a 5 to 10 day pattern change. We'll be watching that very closely.
Rainfall across the Corn Belt has slowed field work for the fall. Farmers would like to continue that, even in colder temperatures. Is the expectation that next week they'll be able to get it back into the field or stay in the field?
Well, you'll have a lot better chance if you're to the east of the Mississippi River. So Illinois and points onto the east will tend to be drier than what's going to happen to the west. The system we talked about earlier is going to dump a lot of rain across Iowa, Missouri, and Minnesota. And so the western Corn Belt is going to receive some pretty big totals of anywhere from, let's say, 3/4 of an inch to 1.5 inches. That will be starting on Monday and then ending on Tuesday. Again, to the east, not a lot is expected with this event, and then it turns a lot colder and it turns a lot drier. So even these areas that get in on maybe too much rain early next week will start to look a little bit better once we're 7 to 10 days from now.
Hey, thank you much, Mike.
Yeah, have a great day, Todd.
I will. You too. That's Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather, president and CEO there. Joins us each and every Thursday here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.O-R-G. There today, you can register for the Farm Assets Conference or the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Remember, these all four are part of the same series. The Ag Economist will be traveling to Champaign. That's Farm Assets Conference, really just to the iHotel here on campus. And then on the following week, that's December 13th, on Monday the 16th, we'll be in Mount Vernon at the Doubletree, and then we'll be in East Peoria at the Casino Hotel there, the Paradise, and we'll be at the Marcima Event Center at NIU or Northern Illinois University's campus on Wednesday the 18th. You can join the whole of the FarmDoc team at any of those four events if you come to campus for the Farm Assets Conference. The crop scientists will be with us as well. Sign up today. Register right now at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. This afternoon, we'll record our Commodity Week program here in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. Our guest today will be Arlen Suderman from StoneX and Kevin Van Trump of the Van Trump Report. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.